This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Tarik Skubal made his debut for the Los Angeles Dodgers at Wrigley Field. He went six innings, stays under his out prop, strikes out six under his strikeout prop, and all in all pitched pretty well in a pitcher's duel. Javier Assad was really strong on Tuesday night. And Matt, that series wraps up on Wednesday. Nothing like a day game at Wrigley Field, and we'll have Shota Imanaga on the hill for the Cubs, and for the first time in the series against the Dodgers with that 2:20 Eastern first pitch at Wrigley Field. The Cubs will be the betting favorite with Imanaga on the hill, around $1.25 favorite against the Dodgers.
Yeah, you don't get the Dodgers as dogs too often. Tim, you ever had a Dodger dog?
No, I have not. Never been to Chavez Ravine.
Never been to Dodger Stadium?
I have not.
Dodgers plus 110 out
worth
there.
Worth the hype? I don't know.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
All right. It's,
if you go to a Dodger game, you got to get a Dodger
dog. I'm sure I would get a Dodger
dog. But you don't get the Dodgers as underdogs too often. They're plus 110, plus 108, 105. I'm seeing out here on the screen. Eric Lauer gets the start. Dodgers had lost four in a row going into Tuesday night's game at Wrigley. Eric Lauer is going to get the start. He has made eight starts for the Dodgers, 5-0. Whip under one, ERA of 2.96. He's not a strikeout guy. Only 30 strikeouts in 52 innings. So it's not like he's going to go out and dominate the Cubs, but he has pitched well. And you got to think, if the Dodgers are on a losing streak going into this this Wednesday game, they might be worth a shot at about plus 110. Lauer, Imanaga, and the Dodgers trying to stop a rare long losing streak, Tim. It's not too often you're going to see Dodgers drop four or five games in a row.
Dodgers being underdogs, that is rare. Paul Skeens being an underdog, also a bit rare. The Pittsburgh Pirates and the Milwaukee Brewers back at it on Wednesday night in Milwaukee. Kyle Harrison, about a month off, dealing with some arm fatigue. He has been great this year, but his last couple of starts before being kind of shut down there, Matt, not all that great. So we get Kyle Harrison after about a month off against Paul Skeens and the Brewers on Wednesday evening, a $1.36 favorite against the Pittsburgh Pirates and Paul Skeens.
Skeens in his last two starts has been pretty bad, actually, against the Reds and the Cubs, a total of 9 1/3 innings. He's allowed 13 hits, 10 runs and 2 home runs. And he's walked 6 over that span as well. Skeens had a pretty good outing against the Guardians in Cleveland on July 19th. But really, his last couple starts, his velocity's been down. And there have been a lot of questions. Is there something wrong with Skeens? Because his velocity chart has been showing dips. And it's been a steady dip. I talked about this about a month ago. And the last two starts have been, I think, his worst. Let's put it that way. A couple of his worst. To allow 10 earned runs over the last 9 1/3 innings. But on the flip side, like you mentioned, Harrison, not in the best form either. What do you do with this game? I'll probably pass.
Yeah, you look at the total in this one, you're getting a very low total because of the names of these two pitchers.
You played over 7? At FanDuel, the total is 7.
Man, that's tempting. Yeah. You look at the way Skeens has pitched, Harrison also, but if Harrison has a short leash, the Brewers have one of the better bullpens in baseball, so they might be able to close the door. Matt, late night we get the debut in San Diego of Casey Mize. Casey Mize from Detroit really has pitched well so far this year, and Mize, depending on where you look, either a slight favorite, the San Diego Padres at the Diamondbacks, or pick 'em. That is what FanDuel has. But the San Diego Padres, he talked about it on deadline day. They got aggressive, and Mize was one of the big pickups that they had. Thought of as arguably one of the better moves of the deadline, at least on paper, as A.J. Preller and the Padres were aggressive. And Mize will make his Padres debut on Wednesday night.
Well, I would like to back Mize with the Padres, but probably not in this spot because he's a favorite. I'm going to call it at Circa, he's minus 116. At other books I see out there around Pick'em, I really don't want to lay a price. I can only take a small plus price if I'm going to play the Padres here, but it's really no telling how a guy's going to pitch in his first start with a team. You know, Skubal started out really strong tonight. He actually was not that great after the first inning. The Padres D-backs is going to be a matchup I pass.
Man, you know who was great in the first inning on Tuesday night? The Boston Red Sox. 6 runs in the first inning and route to a 14-2 win over the Chicago White Sox. A big-time showdown at Fenway Park this week as Caleb Durbin hit a grand slam in the first inning and pretty much set the tone for what we were going to see on Tuesday night. So now Sonny Gray takes the hill for the red-hot Boston Red Sox, 32-8 over their last 40 games.
Yeah, and like I said, I think 22-3 over the last 25. I don't want to bet against the Red Sox here, and the price is actually cheap, minus 115 on Sonny Gray. Now, he has not been very good in his last two starts. 7 innings, 4 earned runs against the A's. Prior to that, 5 innings, 10 hits, 5 earned runs against the Blue Jays. But he's still 13-2. He's put together a hell of a year. I bet Sonny Gray at 45-1 to win Cy Young. That's kind of a hedge on that Cam Schwitler bet. But the last couple starts, he's definitely taken a step back. That said, his previous 3 starts were really good. 6 innings, 1 earned run in each of those. And it has to be at this point Red Sox or pass.
Matt, the last time we saw Will Warren on the hill, he was great against the Chicago Cubs. 6 2/3 scoreless, 7 strikeouts in that 2-0 win last Friday night. Will Warren will take the hill for the New York Yankees, who got a shutout win on Tuesday night against the Cardinals. So Warren takes the hill on Wednesday night, Matt, against the St. Louis Cardinals, and they are a favorite, the Yankees are, on Wednesday night, around a minus -150 or so against the Cardinals.
Yeah, Kelsey's actually got minus 138. I think that's a pretty fair price if you like the Yankees. If you look over the past 2 weeks, the starting pitching performances for the Yankees have been phenomenal, aside from Cam Schwitler on Monday night. Their starting pitching has been outstanding, and I think this is a spot where the Yankees are probably worth backing with Will Warren, but I don't want to pay a $1.50, so look for the better number out there. 138 looks like the best price.
All right, Matt, before we know it, it won't be Wednesday night, but you and I will be back on Thursday night on NFL on VSiN Primetime, and we will have a football game. Yes, it's a preseason game. Yes, a lot of the notable names may not be going, but we do have a game on Thursday night, the Hall of Fame game in Canton, Carolina and Arizona. The Panthers will be going with Kenny Pickett. Arizona going with Carson Beck. How much will you see from Carson Beck? TBD. But what's interesting, Matt, circa when we talked about this game earlier in the week, 35.5, there were some 36.5 people betting the under in the Hall of Fame game. 35 now at circa. If you like the under, still some 35.5s out there.
I believe 24 hours ago DraftKings was at 36.5, now 35.5. I like the under in this game too. I'm not sure if I'm going to play it, but I'm going to look into it more, see if I can get some info on what the game plans might be. If these coaches plan on being very conservative, I'd love to bet the under. At the same time, you got young quarterbacks. Why not let these guys go out and cut it loose? And I think it would be in the Cardinals' best interest to let Carson Beck go out and play, throw it around. So I want to see what the game plan is, but I lean under the total, if anything. No opinion on the side, but I do think you're going to see sharper money under the total at 35.5.
Jeremiah Love right now is your betting favorite to win Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Is he going to play?
I don't know if he's going to play, Matt, and I'll tell you what, I would not make that bet at 4-1. You know, as much as I love Jeremiah Love, feels a little bit like the Ashton Jeanty situation from a year ago. They're just not a good football team. I think Jeremiah Love is better than Ashton Jeanty, but 4-1 is the price for him to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. Matt, speaking of football, you and I last year made the journey out to Honolulu for that week 0 game, Hawaii taking on Stanford. Hawaii opened as an underdog over the summer a year ago, closed a favorite, ended up winning that game. A bit fortunate, let's be honest, as Kansei Matsuzawa hit a game-winning field goal. The legend of the Tokyo Toast started, and we said, you know what? Such a great chip a year ago. Let's run it back. Even with Hawaii playing week 0 at Stanford. So, Matt, big news to announce that we will be headed back to Hawaii for some special college football programming. Wednesday, August 26th, right here on VSiN Primetime. We're going to do a special college football preview show live from Hawaii. And then our college football betting podcast, our first week zero preview, our first week preview, I should say, will be live from Hawaii as well, presented by our friends at Rainbow Authentics. 8 FBS games in week zero, including Hawaii, heading to Stanford, as we will see Tavita Pritchard in his coaching debut, head coaching debut at his alma mater, Stanford.
Stanford now about a 4.5-point favorite in that game. Timmy Chang, 9-4 last year for Hawaii. It's going to be tough to duplicate that. This is a more difficult schedule this year, and you got to play Stanford on the road instead of Stanford at home to open up the season week zero. Are we going to be live from Stanford's practice for that first show, or from Hawaii's practice? Where are we going to be?
We are going to go and check out their practice. They practice early in the morning, so we won't be live from their practice. I know early morning's not your favorite either, so we'll get some footage, but looking forward to returning to Honolulu. Some special programming coming your way 3 weeks from today. VSiN Primetime live from Honolulu. Just a reminder, the College Football Betting Guide, folks, is out right now. JVT, who rode up the Mountain West, bet Hawaii to win the Mountain West, Matt. VSiN.com/subscribe. You can get that preview magazine for as little as $9.99. It's highway robbery.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Matt, we were talking to Jeff Sherman earlier in the show, and he said sharp money showed up on the Chicago Cubs today. A little pros versus Joes action. We head to the bottom of the eighth inning at Wrigley Field. 4-1. The Cubs trying to spoil the Tarik Skubal debut with the Los Angeles Dodgers and trying to make me a happy man.
Big favorites, not the way to go in baseball betting. Last night the Yankees went down. Tonight the Dodgers go down.
And it's not over yet. Easy. 4-1 the score, bottom of the eighth inning. By the way, Manny Machado with a RBI double in the first and a two-run single in the top of the second. Padres up 5-0 right now on the Arizona Diamondbacks. We'll get back to baseball updates from Milwaukee, from Yankee Stadium, finals coming across, and the dominant performance we saw from the Boston Red Sox. But let's head to our progressive guest line, Matt. We've been talking a lot of college football, so why not continue it with David Behrman, our good friend who joins us here on the program, Betting with Behrman, and you could follow him on Twitter at David Behrman. Let's go to the Big Ten, and I want to start with a win total. You've got a win total you like over and a win total you like under. I'm feeling positive right now, David. What is a win total in the Big Ten you're looking to bet over?
For over the total, I like Penn State over 8.5. I know there's been a lot of change in state college, but most importantly, James Franklin's gone, the guy who couldn't win any big games. Matt Campbell era begins. I've always been a Matt Campbell fan for what he's done at Iowa State. He brings in 24 former Cyclones with him from a team that started 5-0 last year and finished with 8 wins. Now, you can't judge Penn State on just last year's squad. You have to use a mix of what Iowa State did, what Penn State did. Penn State also only lost 5 one-score games last year during a brutal 6-game skid that ruined their season. Won the final 4 games, including a bowl win over Clemson. Like I said, I like Matt Campbell, but what I really like about this team is the schedule. They avoid Ohio State, they avoid Oregon, they avoid Indiana, arguably the 3 best teams in the conference, not on the schedule. USC comes to Happy Valley. Road tilts are only at Michigan, who may not be that good, more on that in a minute, and Washington to worry about. this team could win 10 and not even be that good. I think they're going to be better than what we've seen out of James Franklin. But at 8.5, it's not a stretch to see this team go 5-0 with three non-cupcake games, Wisconsin and Northwestern, to start Big Ten play. The schedule lines up for them to get 10 wins and not even be that good.
All right, from Penn State, let's go to an under. You said you got one over. What's the under in the Big Ten?
The Michigan number is different at some books. You know, some are going with 7.5 heavy juice on the over. Others are going 8.5 heavy juice on the under. I think 8 wins seems to be the sweet spot, but I'm going to go with the under 8.5 because I think it's more plausible they go 8-4 than the other way around. Why is 8.5 juiced? It's an under year with Kyle Whittingham's first year. I think they're more likely, to go 7-5 than 9-3. I like Whittingham, what he did with Utah and Idaho, but those are places where you have 2 and 3 stars with chips on their shoulders, not necessarily the Michigans of the world. It's Big Ten football, home with 3 of the top teams in the country. And guys, unlike Penn State, Michigan gets Indiana, travels to Oregon and Ohio State. They do play Penn State, although at home, mixing a game versus Oklahoma, who made the playoff last year. That's a brutal schedule. I don't know if they get to 9. Do you know if Bryce Underwood's going to be good? New offense coordinator Jason Beck, new DC, new head coach. I don't see them getting to 9 wins, so I'm going to take the under 8.5.
I'm on that as well. David Bierman, betting with Bierman. Michigan under the win total of 8.5. What else do you have in the Big Ten, David?
I mean, I think it's Ohio State's conference to lose. I know we say that every single year, and all due respect to what Indiana did last year and what they've done. Ohio State's the best team in the conference, top to bottom. They only lost by 3 in that Big Ten championship game, and that gave the Hoosiers a first-round bye and the path to the Natty. It could have easily been the other way around with Ohio State. I think they come out this year with that in mind. They return their entire offense that has 2 Heisman Trophy candidates and Julian Sain and Jeremiah Smith. We saw how good they could be late in the year with Bo Jackson as well. The defense did lose some pieces. They were one of the tops in the nation last year, but they just reload is what they do. Schedule's not easy. I would not be surprised to see them lose in either Austin to Texas or Bloomington to the Hoosiers again. But I'll leave you with this, guys. Ryan has never lost more than 2 games in any season, never more than 2. That puts them right back at the top there, and I think Ohio State is good value at about 2-1 to win the Big Ten.
All right, let's get to the SEC, David. Similar, you have an over, an under, and you have the winner for the SEC. So let's start with your overplay for a win total in the SEC.
I don't necessarily love this Alabama team, but I like the 8.5 and even money to go over. This is Kalen DeBoer's 3rd season. You got a somewhat of an easy start with FSU at home for a revenge game that are going to want to win after losing last year. 5-game stretch of Georgia at Texas, A&M at LSU, and at Vandy is a tough one, but the rest is easy. They go 2-3 in that 5-game stretch. They'll hit 9 wins. And remember, they beat Georgia, Tennessee, and LSU last year, which helped them get in the playoff. New quarterback Austin Mack backed up Ty Simpson last year. The defense will be good as always. I like the over 8.5. I think Alabama, although not the best Alabama team, will still get 9 wins and be right there at the end.
All right, let's hit that under. So we like Alabama over for you. What team are you looking to fade this year in the SEC?
Because it's year one, and I will tell you off the bat that I do like the hire in Lexington of Will Stein, former Oregon offense coordinator. I just don't think it's going to be year one. The total's 4.5. He's built a good staff. Could be a turnaround. It's not going to be an Indiana turnaround. They went big in the transfer portal. But remember, they only had 5 wins last year. 2 were versus the MAC, 1 was versus Tennessee Tech, and they beat Florida and Auburn in down years, and that was with Stoops right there, and Stoops had been there a dozen years. It also ended with them losing to Vandy in Louisiana by a total of 86-17. I'm just not sure I see 5 wins on this schedule with road games at A&M, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Vandy, and Tennessee. Bama, LSU, and Florida at home, they will be better, but those are going to be tough wins. They do avoid Texas and Georgia. I like Kentucky's future. I just don't like them this year.
All right, David, surprise winner in the SEC. Who do you got, Florida Gators?
No, Florida's not going to win it. It's not going to be a surprise. It's going to be Georgia or Texas. That's who it always is. It's a 2-team race. They're the best 2 teams in the conference, top to bottom. A&M made a run last year. That's cute. You know, Alabama's always involved, and you never know what the Lane train's going to do there in Baton Rouge. But until Texas, Sarkisian, and Manning show they can actually beat Georgia, which they haven't in the last 2 years, you got to go with Georgia. They've won all three matchups with Texas. I like Georgia at plus 280 to repeat as SEC champions. I just don't see anybody beating them this year. Even though everyone's getting closer, Georgia's still the cream of the crop, and you know it pains me to say that.
Well, I like Georgia to win the SEC as well, and Bulldogs have a better schedule than the Longhorns do as well. David Bierman with us, betting with Bierman. Let's go to golf. And this is not a high-profile tournament this week before we get to the playoffs, but if you hit winners, that's all that matters. Wyndham Championship in North Carolina. Cameron Young is the favorite. Jackson Koivun is the second choice. He has won a couple of weeks ago. What are you looking to play here in the Wyndham?
At the Wyndham, it's interesting because you have guys who obviously can win this event, and then you have guys who need to play their way into the playoff. Only top 70 get in, so it gives you some opportunities to look at the middle of the pack there. But I'm going to go towards the top of the leaderboard. I like Ben Griffin. This course is built for accurate ball strikers who putt well and play positional tracks well. If you look at past Donald Ross-type venues, which is what you get in this week at Sedgwick, you add in Detroit, Aronimink, and Eastlake, and he has six top 10, 15 finishes over that time. He's 20th in shots gained putting, which is one of the best in the field this week, sixth around the green and 33rd overall. And overall, he's played, his approach game hasn't been great, but he has gained strokes and approach in each of the last seven events. Surprise missed cut last week when I actually liked him to get right on the horse this week. He didn't get off the tee well. I think he gets on it. He's a North Carolina native. He's played well here with three top 11 finishes in four appearances. I think he can come out and win it at 27-1. I'm also playing Tom Kim at 36-1. He was the hot name going into the Open Championship after a third place finish at the U.S. Open and a win at the Scottish Open. And while he disappointed us, it was a guy that I gave out. I'm not going to just eliminate myself from him. Get right back on it. Don't abandon shift. This guy got a top 20 last week in Minnesota. Best ball striker on tour, fifth on approach, gaining strokes in 10 straight events. He's won this before. He won it in 2022. And oh, by the way, I do like Cameron Young, but to finish in the top 10 at plus 125, I had him last week. I'll have him this week. He's the favorite. The number is too short.
I like your Ben Griffin play. He profiles well this week. He's 28-1 at Circa. Tim, I believe Jeff Sherman mentioned him on the show.
He did, yeah.
Is it Sherman or Grill?
I thought it was Sherman.
One of those guys like Ben Griffin as well. Bierman, best of luck this week. I think we'll be on a couple of the same players.
I appreciate it, and hopefully we'll get some cashes.
There he is, David Bierman, at betting with at David Bierman, excuse me, on Twitter, betting with Bierman, the podcast and the newsletter. You know what I like, Matt? This score at Wrigley Field, 5-1 Cubs on top of the Dodgers. Those unbeatable Dodgers have
five
a hard
straight
time winning
losses.
Games.
I know, five straight losses.
The Cubs red hot. The Brewers did get a win. The Padres up big. We'll update you on the happenings today across Major League Baseball next, right here on VSiN Primetime.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Alongside Matt Eumanns, I'm Tim Murray. 5-1 at Wrigley Field as the Cubs will head to the top of the ninth trying to close this thing out right now. They closed as pretty hefty dogs, plus 165 or so, and now they are actually plus 176, I believe, is what we saw at DraftKings and FanDuel prior to the game starting. So Scooble looking like he will get a loss in his first start. And he went six innings tonight, two runs, four hits, six strikeouts. Javier Assad, we mentioned that stat, Matt, and looks like it will come to roost here as Assad entering tonight the Cubs when he started at Wrigley Field, 20-9 straight up, 9-2 as an underdog.
Oh, make that 21-9 and 10-2, right? And a nice bet by you. I bet you wish you had taken plus 165 and not the plus 1.5, but that's the way it goes.
I know.
You felt pretty good about that bet when it was a one-run game, right?
Yeah, yeah. I was feeling all right. Now you wish you would have had gone a little bit more aggressive. The Brewers did win tonight 4-2, so they do keep pace in the NL Central. But, man, that feels like that is going to be a very contested race down the stretch, Matt. The Cubs are hot, but not as hot as the Boston Red Sox, boys and girls. How about this? We've been talking about it, but I just wanted to bring it to light here. Bob Nightingale pointing it out on Twitter. Matt, since the All-Star break, the Red Sox are 15-3. Since July 3rd, they're 24-3. Since June 25th, they're 29-5, greatest 34-game stretch in franchise history. And since June 19th, 32-8. The Boston Red Sox were once upon a time
about 15 games under, right?
I had it written down here in my notes here. But they are now 61-51. They were 29-43. They are now 61-51. Man.
Putting a lot of heat on the top two teams in that division, the Rays and the Yankees. And I tell you what, the Red Sox, define what you're talking about when you say you don't want to bet against the streak in baseball, right? You want to bet on the hot teams. And Red Sox right now, a team you want to bet on pretty much every day. They could have the most wins in MLB in July and August.
Man, wouldn't that be something? By the way, a couple of the notable acquisitions that made their debuts today. We talked about Luis Garcia Jr. yesterday hitting the home run for the Yankees. How about Luis Arraez for the Philadelphia Phillies? 2-for-4, a pair of RBI. The Phillies win 5-0 over the Washington Nationals. And the Phillies now 61-53. We saw in Colorado-Tampa, which is still going on, 7-5, Freddy Peralta, yikes, in his debut as a Ray. 7 runs on 9 hits, 3 strikeouts, 2 homers allowed. Caveat, it's at Coors Field. But on the flip side, Matt, making his debut with the Tampa Bay Rays from the Miami Marlins, how about Liam Hicks? Grand slam for the Tampa Bay Rays. So big debut there. Tarik Skubal, of course, made his debut tonight. Went 6 innings. He goes under his outs prop, goes under his strikeout prop. 6 strikeouts, 2 walks, 2 earned runs allowed. And the Cubs trying to finish off the Dodgers right now as there is now 1 out, top of the 9th inning. Cubs up 5-1 on the Los Angeles Dodgers.
It's worth pointing out here because we got that Bob Nightingale tweet that the Red Sox since June 25th are 29-5. The Dodgers are 0-5 in their last 5. They'd have to win the next 29 to match the what the Red Sox run has become here. Pretty impressive. That's why it's not going to surprise me if the Dodgers don't win the World Series. It's the shortest World Series favorite. We were talking about this with Johnny Avello last night. I cannot recall a shorter World Series favorite in the last 25 years. In August, right? In August, I have a plus 150 World Series favorite.
Well, it's now ticked up, Matt, the plus 160. Oh, one other debut tonight. He wasn't traded, but this, I know, made a lot of your hashtag Yankee Update fans happy. How about George Lombard Jr. in his debut with the New York Yankees? Goes yard. Yankees win 2-0 tonight over the Cardinals.
Yeah, I know a lot of Yankees analysts, fans, who believe that Lombard should have been up a long time ago, but that's a pretty good chance that's the last you're going to see of Anthony Volpe and that Lombard's going to be the shortstop going forward. I do think some of these changes the Yankees made offensively have been positive the last few days.
Padres lost yesterday, aggressive at the deadline. Casey Mize will make his debut tomorrow for the San Diego Padres. They're up 6-0 heading to the bottom of the third. Manny Machado with a couple of RBI. Jackson Merrill with a couple of RBI. Padres up 6-0 against the Arizona Diamondbacks. They trail by 2 games right now for that final wild card spot in the National League. Hey, folks, if you're betting at Circa Sportsbook, for a limited time, you can fund your wagers and contest entries with crypto using Burra Pay and pay no Burra Pay transaction fees. It's fast, secure, and another way Circa continues to innovate for sports bettors. Visit BurraPay.com to learn more and take advantage of fee-free crypto wagering before August 31st exclusively at Circa Sportsbook at Circa Resort and Casino. Burra Pay transaction fees waived as part of campaign. Standard cryptocurrency network and exchange fees may apply. Matt, we've mentioned it a couple times. We had Jeff Sherman on. We had Matt Grill on. We just had David Behrman on. Any interest to, in the Wyndham Championship for you from
a little bit
standpoint?
Of interest. So I'm going to bet a couple of players here at Circa. I'm not going to go berserk with this tournament by any means, but there are a couple guys, and Jeff Sherman or Matt Grill, maybe they both mentioned it. I'm pretty sure Sherman did tonight. I like Davis Thompson. I think he's in pretty good current form. He's up 44-1 here at Circa. And Ben Griffin, who I believe Sherman and Grill both mentioned. And Matt, didn't we just get David Behrman to mention Ben Griffin as well?
26-1 at DraftKings.
28-1 right here at Circa. Yep. So I'll probably play Ben Griffin and Davis Thompson, and that's about it. It's not been a positive golf betting year for me or many other people. And see if we can get some couple of winners here down the stretch.
By the way, the Davis Thompson is 54-1 at DraftKings. All right, pop up left field, and that should do it. The Chicago Cubs as home dogs around +175 get the win and spoil the debut of Tarek Skubal. Javier Assad, give him a tip of the cap, was really strong in his outing. 5 2/3, 1 run on 4 hits, 3 strikeouts. The bullpen shuts down the Dodgers. The Dodgers, as you mentioned, Matt, have now dropped 5 in a row. And the Chicago Cubs continuing to keep that heat on the Milwaukee Brewers. The Brewers did win tonight, but the Cubbies are victorious tonight as a home dog, and they have taken the first 2 games of this series against the Dodgers.
How about that? The Cubs and the Red Sox, I think two teams that are as hot as it gets, and the Red Sox especially, but over the last couple months, keep an eye on the Cubs. And I think at 4-1 odds, they're probably worth a shot to win that division as well. I really believe that's going to be a race to the wire and a photo finish with Milwaukee and Chicago. And that division, I believe you said, what, 7 games left between those teams, correct?
Yep. Yeah, they have a late August series and then Labor Day weekend. Labor Day Monday, they start a 3-game series in Milwaukee. So 4 at Wrigley, 3 more in Milwaukee.
Are you going to be at one of those games?
I am. Going to pull a little double dip, Matt. Going to pull a Matt Eumanns.
So you're going to head to the game the day before Notre Dame plays Wisconsin or what?
After. So okay. Notre Dame plays Wisconsin Sunday night, Labor Day weekend, okay. Lambeau Field. We'll wake up. We'll head on over to AmFam Field to catch Cubs Brewers and then travel back to Vegas on Tuesday. So you're going to have to deal without me on Monday of Labor Day weekend when Florida State is playing SMU on that Monday night of Labor Day weekend. But yeah, you'll be are you gonna take in a game Labor Day weekend, Matt? TBD.
Let's see,
there's a game out on
It's gonna be UNLV Hawaii.
Yeah
I plan to be at that game. Yeah, I imagine on that Monday night I'll be hosting the show with Will Hill. He's in the book tonight.
I know.
Hill is here at the Circa book tonight. He's gonna be in studio tomorrow night, I believe, with
Femi of Ebefe.
Femi.
Yeah, so that's a good crew there on Wednesday nights. Yeah, I saw Will. His biceps were bulging out of his VSiN shirt, and I believe he is going to be partaking in some Bet Bash activities. I believe the Bear Bets podcast, Chris Felica, Sammy P., Jeff Schwartz, and Will Hill will be doing a live broadcast up at Bet Bash.
Is that right?
Yeah, so check that out. It's over. At Wrigley Field, 5-1. The Cubs get the victory over the Los Angeles Dodgers. Matt, since July 1st, the Dodgers, the unbeatable Dodgers, 13-15.
Yep, dropped 5 in a row.
We'll wrap things up. We'll take a look at the betting board for tomorrow right here on VSiN Primetime.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Alongside Matt Humans, I'm Tim Murray, wrapping things up here on VSiN Primetime. Just a reminder, the VSiN College Football Betting Guide is out right now. We'll have a couple new episodes of the College Football Betting Podcast coming out later this week. JVT, who broke down the SEC as well as the Mountain West, will join me, and Wes Reynolds on the Big Ten. And you see it right there, vsin.com/subscribe. Check it out for as little as $9.99. Get your hands on 345 pages, Matt, of college football goodness. College football, 3 weeks from Saturday. Week zero of the college football season. So
who's on your college football betting podcast this week?
I just mentioned JVT and Wes Reynolds. We'll have to get you on at some point as we'll get the band back together. Looking forward to another season. Thursday episodes, you and me breaking down the card. You had a very strong season. And last year, mid-season, give you a lot of credit. I mean, you didn't get the best of the number, but you said Fernando Mendoza is going to win the Heisman Trophy, and you were spot on. And I believe you had an Indiana ticket to win the national championship mid-season too. So yeah, ended up being a very good year for you.
Early October, I think about that. It became apparent to me in I think some point early in October that this team's going to do it. They're going to win it all, and Mendoza's going to win the Heisman. Now, Indiana did have a couple of scares.
Sure. Penn State game.
At Iowa, at Penn State. Couple of
Ohio
games.
State game wasn't easy in the Big Ten championship.
Well, you didn't expect that to be easy. But on the road, and that's why I say when you're breaking down these win totals, and a team like Michigan, we talk about the toughest games on the schedule. Almost every road game in conference can be a tough one. And Indiana really was fortunate to win at Iowa and at Penn State last year, and the Hawkeyes and Nittany Lions were nothing special, right?
Yeah. By the way, here's
another game. Basically, what got James Franklin fired, Penn State was a 24.5-point favorite at UCLA and lost. And then came home the next week and lost to Northwestern, right?
Yeah. Oh, man. I would say one of my worst bets of the year, Matt, was mid-season, I bet UCLA under the adjusted win total of 1.5. I think it was shortly after they got absolutely blitzed by New Mexico. I'm like, this team is terrible. And then they went out and beat Penn State as 24-point underdogs at home.
Jerry Neuheisel.
That's right.
Huh? Coaching change. That UCLA turnaround was unexpected, to say the least. Are too many people jumping on this Penn State bandwagon? What do you think?
Couple teams. Let me ask you this. So a couple teams that I feel like a lot of people have discussed. Oregon to win the national title. Penn State over their win total. Oklahoma seems to be getting some love out there. My guy Brett Ciancia is a big believer in this Oklahoma team. Florida State under. I'll put that one in there. I've got that bet. A lot of people seem to be jumping on Florida State under. That makes me a little bit nervous. Is there a team that you believe there's a little bit too much groupthink? Maybe it is Penn State out there. As we've started to have the college football discussion start more and more, is there a team or two that you're getting a little worried that maybe there's too much groupthink out there?
You know, actually, Penn State was one that jumped out to me, which is why I asked you, because all I've heard, and I brought this up to Jared Smith last night, and he said he just made a pretty big bet on Penn State over the total. All I've heard is talk about Penn State's soft schedule and Penn State over the total. I have not heard any anti-Penn State talk, and this goes back the last couple of months. I've never been the biggest Matt Campbell fan. I think he's solid. He's not spectacular. The schedule does set
less
up
with more a lot of the time.
Right.
Yeah.
He did take, it's a positive, he took 25 or so players with him from Iowa State, and I like Rocco Beck, the quarterback. But I wonder if Penn State's a little bit too popular with the betting public right now.
They seem to be quite popular. There's no doubt. You look at the schedule right now, for those of you watching with us, they're going to be a favorite a lot of those games. I'll tell you what, that October, let me point out one game from a scheduling standpoint, a situational spot.
very good chance Penn State's going to be 6-0 in the middle of October, right?
Absolutely, as they go to Michigan. I think that October 10th game, a lot of people have circled. Brad Powers was on the College Football Betting Podcast earlier this offseason. Penn State was a short home dog. I think that's moved to a pick in the game of the year market. You like Penn State as a dog October 10th. But, Matt, watch out for that October 2nd game. I'm not calling for the outright upset. But Northwestern at home, they'll be opening up their new stadium.
Oh, no question.
Friday night game after Penn State opens up at home against Wisconsin. They've got USC on deck. That is what we call the sandwich spot at Northwestern. Friday night game, Ryan Field after all of the renovations there. So, yeah, keep an eye on that one. Hopefully we can catch maybe – double digits with Northwestern at home? Two touchdowns? I don't know.
I don't think
two touchdowns would be aggressive.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be that much. I like the Purple Cats as dogs, too, especially home dogs. So I'd probably look to play them in that spot. I'd love to get seven or more than seven.
Oh, yeah. Friday night, things are going to get weird there.
I don't know if we'll get that. We'll see. I will say this. I'm not going to bet the Penn State win total under. I'm not. When you look at the schedule, it's kind of a joke.
Yeah.
That the teams that are not on it, no Indiana, no Ohio State, no Oregon. I mean, could you draw it up any better in your first season if you're Matt Campbell?
I really couldn't.
No.
And you get at Michigan, but who knows what Michigan's going to be. At Washington will definitely be a challenge, but you get
all the weakest teams.
You get the bottom
feeders.
You get Northwestern, you get Purdue, you get Maryland, you get Wisconsin at home.
Rutgers.
Camp Randall could be tricky, but you get Wisconsin at home. You know, Wisconsin's a team, too, I'm curious about. Obviously, they open up the season, Matt, against Notre Dame. But, you know, Wisconsin, it's a make-or-break year for Luke Fickle. And I couldn't have been more wrong. I thought when they hired Luke Fickle, this was a home run hire. It has been anything but that. And you look at their schedule, similarly, they don't have Indiana. They don't have Ohio State. And they don't have Oregon. So, like Penn State, Wisconsin does have a beneficial schedule and a make-or-break year for Luke Fickle. Now, if they get blown out in week one, which the point spread would indicate they are going to, does that spiral things a little bit sour or south for Wisconsin? You never know.
Well, that's one team I'm not very optimistic about. And you say a make-or-break year for Luke Fickle, I think it's going to be a break year.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no doubt. So we will see. And the last one, how about USC? The news coming out from our guest earlier today, Brett McMurphy. What a stunner. Lincoln Riley doesn't want to play a challenging non-conference game. I am floored by that. Doesn't want to play his alma mater. There were reports that in 2027, Texas Tech and USC were going to play in Houston. Mm-hmm. And in 2028, play here in Vegas. Those talks are over. USC has withdrawn from that potential series, and as Brett McMurphy reported, he said it is, quote, dead, a source told him. Where are you on USC this year? Because
middle of the road. I actually kind of like USC. Lincoln Riley had a great recruiting class, and I do think Dan Tomlin's going to be missed as defensive coordinator.
I'm not crazy about Gary Patterson taking over as the defensive coordinator there.
Yeah.
He's a veteran.
I know.
He's been around a long time.
Yeah. He's a great coach for a long time. It's hard to say, really. Probably could have made worse hires. But I'm lukewarm on USC right now. And USC's got a hell of a schedule, too. Home game against Oregon. Home game against Washington. At Penn State. Home game against Ohio State. At Indiana. It's going to be tough to get over that win total of 8.5. But I think this USC team's got a ton of talent. How about the one game that really interests me is September 4th, Fresno State at USC.
Friday night game on Fox.
I think right now USC is about a 25-point favorite.
Yeah, they're, 37.5 in week zero against San Jose State. Unfortunately, I think Kenny Amatololo's team is going to be in for it this year. I do not expect many positive things from the Spartans at San Jose State. That one could be ugly in week zero. But, yeah, that Fresno State game.
Well, here's why it's interesting. Fresno might have the best offensive line and best defensive line in the Pac-12, right?
Yeah.
And when you're betting an underdog, you got to be able to hold your own up front on the lines. And Fresno might be able to hold its own against USC up front. And you're getting a ton of points in a game like that.
Yeah,
and you're getting a really good coach in Matt Entz.
The big question for me, who do you think is going to be their starting quarterback, Fresno State? Is it going to be the transfer Christian Martin from Maryland?
I think it's a Maryland transfer. But I tell you what, the one thing about Fresno.
Good run game.
All across the board, that team is solid. So they don't need spectacular quarterback play to be good. They got an outstanding running attack, like you just mentioned.
You know what's spectacular, Matt? Our VSiN College Football Betting Guide, which is out right now. You can get it for as little as $9.99. Check it out. Thanks again to everyone who joined the show. Brett McMurphy, Jeff Sherman, Joe DeLone, Matt Grill, and David Behrman. Thanks to Corey, our producer, everyone behind the scenes here at VSiN. Start your day with VSiN by the book. Super Dave and Jensen Lewis, 7 a.m. right here on VSiN. And then a numbers game follows that. For Matt Humans, I'm Tim Murray. This has been VSiN Primetime. If you're looking